So, did you have any thoughts? Thank you for this morning. Thank you for this place for opening up to us, the house, a place to come to hear your word, to learn your words. Ask that your spirit come into this room, the heavenly Father, to touch each one of our hearts, open up our ears, open up our hearts, dear Lord, and let us go out and not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. You know, your word clearly states, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Ask your spirit go before each one of these men, bless their families, and I ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Are we in Paul? We're in Paul 18. Acts 18. So Paul's the world traveler right now. He's traveling all over. This is going to be the end of his second ministry's trip, going into his third one. But Jimmy asked a question last Wednesday, and he said, "Do you know God?" Did anybody ponder on that question? So I started to ask, like, do I really know God?
Do I really believe
in the mind? So, like I think I do, but I truly believe that Paul knew God, and he definitely knew Jesus. You know, he was the king. He took the go forth and make disciples, literally, because that's what he did through all his ministries. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. That was because Claudius has commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome, and he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked for by occupation. They were tent makers. Now Corinth was a large city. It was already an ancient city in Paul's time. The Romans had destroyed it when they revolted against them. Julius Caesar became the head of Rome. He rebuilt it because they needed the ports. It was in direct battle with Athens. So he had Athens and Corinth, the two major cities. And Corinth was a kind of like modern day New Orleans. Prostitution, homosexuality, everything. Because there was a saying back saying, if you're acting like a Corinthian, that means you had no good morals. So Paul's over there. He meets Aquila and Priscilla, and they become his disciples. So their reputation wasn't too good for Corinth, and for Paul to go into there and to even try, it's almost like with Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's almost the exact same thing. You know, even though you're righteous, Lot was a righteous man, but he couldn't convert his own house to be righteous. Because it clearly states in Genesis that God, he asked God, if there were 10 righteous, I'd save the city. Lot couldn't even get 10 of his own house right. Because we know he had slaves. We know he had servants. He had kids. The 10 of them weren't righteous. Just think about that for a hot minute. But Paul talks about Corinth in Romans, well, the situation is made in Romans 1, 22, 32, where it's talking about, because it's believed that Paul wrote a letter of Romans from Corinth. And he's talking about the people there. It's in Romans 1, 22, 32, sexually immoral. They thought they were wise. They turned from God. It's a big list of things. I'm not going to read all that, not 10 verses. And he found Priscilla and Aquila. They were Jews already. And they worked as tent makers. So when in that culture back in that day, even though, because Paul was going to be a Pharisee, the head Pharisee, you still learned a trade. Paul had to support himself. It's not like now where you got thousands of people tithing, you know. Paul wasn't getting no tithe. He was out there on the front lines at the beginning of the church, and he's setting up these churches. Now, does he reap the benefits sometimes? Sometimes he does, but a lot of times he doesn't, because he clearly states, I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know what it's like to have nothing. You know, it's about being happy and content in those situations. And the so he go, he's at Corinth, and he's gonna go, you're gonna see his ministry shift from the Jews to the Gentiles. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit to testify to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. And the Jews didn't want to believe it. They still got Jews today that don't want to believe that Jesus is the Christ. You know? So he's starting his shift. He's going from no Jews at all to straight Gentiles. This is where he's really getting going into it. Because the Jews didn't want to believe it. Now, some did believe. I mean, just like a bunch of us now, we believe Jesus is God, Lord. Some people in this world don't believe Jesus is God. Got to pray for those people. And he would debate with them, because Paul would go to Scripture because he knew the Scripture. I mean, he had been with Scriptures. He was, so you couldn't fuss with him. He knew it just as good as you. You just had the Pharisee title. So Paul would stay, and he could debate with you. You know, it's like going to debate with, Dexter or Byron over finances. Really? They're both financial advisors. You're going to lose that battle, you know? Or going fuss with Eddie over floors. Go tell him how to lay a floor. That's what he does. Me, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm still trying to figure it out. So, but when they opposed him and blasphemed, he shook his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your head, upon your heads. I am clean. For now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he departed from there and entered the house of a certain man named Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many other Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. So there it is. I'm leaving you, I'm going to the Gentiles. And when he talks about blaspheming, when they oppose him and blaspheme, the assumption is made that they're saying that, because he's saying Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Messiah. You know? And that's where they keep saying he's blaspheming, that Jesus is God, and so on and so forth, and you get the whole thing. Then when he shook his garments, that was a sign that I'm going to reject your rejection. He shook off his cloak, his sandals, like clean. I'm going to reject your rejection. I'm clean, you're not. And that's what he's saying. So pretty much was judging him at that point. But he was right in what he was saying. You know, said, now I will go to the Gentiles. Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household. So you have the head, God, in charge of the church, in charge of the synagogue, that Paul converted to believe in Christ. Did that help Paul? Don't know. But you still have the head Jew of the synagogue back at Paul, and Paul moves next door. What a slap in the face. Like, I'm just going to go next door to you, and I'm still going to preach the word. You know, that's like us getting banned from somewhere. We'll just go next door and preach the word. You know, you can't stop what God has ordained. It's coming. That's just fact. Then it says, many of the Corinthians believed and were baptized. And that's in 1 Corinthians 21:26. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And that goes back to what I said earlier. You know, the harvest is plenty, the laborers are few. A lot of people aren't called. Are you listening to God, what he's asking you to do? Are you obeying him? You know, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. You know, are you spending time in your word? Are you meditating? Are you listening to God? Don't just throw up something and call it a prayer. That's not prayer. I do do the practice where I read my Bible and meditate and I pray, and however long that takes, that's how long I sit in silence. It's a conversation. You know, that's like me going to sit down. Hey, how you doing? And walking off because I don't want to hear what his response is. It's the same thing with God. You just can't do that. You have to be patient and wait for God to speak to you on what you're asking him, or if, give me direction, Lord. Well, give me direction, Lord. Sure, I'm going this way. You know, and sometimes we see things. Jeremy was talking, we were laughing about that before he goes on his hiatus. we were laughing about that. I know God pointed me this way. I know when you open that door, but I go before God. You know, hey, I know you opened this for me. I'm going this way. You can come if you want, but I'm going. And God's like, I'm just going to clean it up after you get through that because you didn't wait for me. Because you're going to make a mess out of it. You got to learn to listen to God, be patient, and let God tell you what he needs you to do thoroughly and when to go. You know, because sometimes we might want to jump the ship every once in a while, a little too early. So God gives a special encouragement to Paul while he's in Corinth. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. And he continued there for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now how reassuring is that? You know, Paul knew God. Right there, God's talking to him. You do what you have to do, I'll get your back. I'm going to protect you. Nobody's going to hurt you. They can do all this stuff, and nothing's going to happen to you. You preach my word. You tell them people about me and about my son and what my son did for me. And there's no worry. How would that feel if God said, hey, you can go ahead and do this. Don't worry about it. Or you stand on top of a building. Go ahead, jump. I got you. You know, or we're doing something in life, and God says, you're right, just keep moving forward. You're going to come through, you're going to have a few trials and whatever, but no harm will come to you. You'll come out of this, stay obedient, stay focused, and let's move forward, keep moving forward. You know, how many times do we jump? Because it was Pastor Obed said this, it was the first time I ever saw him preach at the Latin campus. He said, God shows us our destiny, but he won't show us our journey because we'll stop. It's too painful.
That's good.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
You know, think about it. Yep. You know, look, I celebrate all my failures, prison, everything up to now. It's because God had his hand on me. So if God had his hand on me then, what changed? You know, what changed? Huh?
Your thoughts change.
Look, Joe, you don't want to get inside his brain. it's perspective. It's how we see things in life. You know, Craig and I have with Donald Mendoza, it's a book called Leadership and Self-Deception. It's looking at people as people and not as objects. You know, I can meet you. I can look at you as a person or as a business transaction. What can you do for me? And a lot of times, that's how my friendships were established. I need to get close to that person because I need something from him. And he's thinking, I need to get close to him because I need something from him. Then the friendship falls apart. That's not a friendship. That's an acquaintance. But once again, everybody comes in your life for a reason or a season.
And a lot of that's done without you even realizing.
Huh?
I said, and a lot of that is done without you even realizing.
Absolutely.
We don't even intentionally act that way.
Yeah, it's we're doing Genesis on Saturday mornings, and Eric taught on chapter 3. And he said, we're still fighting to live in chapters 1 and 2 before the fall of man. Because we want everything to be good. Then the fall of man came, and the world's not good no more, because God said it was good. You know, Adam and Eve walked with God. They knew God on an intimate basis. They let their human flesh get to them, and doubt crept in. All Satan had to do is put doubt in your mind. Look, the enemy's just got to put a thought in my head, and I'll take it from there. I don't need his help. I can do what I want to do it without him. I just need the thought, you know. So he was there for a year and a half. That's probably one of the longest times that he spent in one city. He was there for 18 months. That's a very long time, but he was bound and determined to plant a church in Corinth. And that's what he did. He succeeded. You know, but I mean, when God got your back and he's telling you, dude, just go with it. Then the Jews, when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, this is a part of God protecting him. The Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat saying, this fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, if it were a matter of wrongdoing or wicked crimes, O Jews, there would be reason why I should bear with you. But if it is a question of words and names on your own law, look to it for yourselves. For I do not want to be judge of such matters. And he drove the judgment seat. He drove him from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. But Gallio took no notice of these things. That was the way of God protecting Paul. They brought him in front of the proconsul. Proconsul said, I ain't got nothing to do with this. Same thing with Jesus. If you look at Jesus and Pontius Pilate, they want nothing to do with it. But they kept pushing. Because Pontius Pilate washed his hands. He turned his back while they were beating the guy that brought the charges. I don't want nothing to do with this. You know? I have no need to judge on this. This doesn't concern me. That's between your laws, the Jewish laws, and you. I'm Roman. I don't follow those laws. Pretty much is what he was saying. Those laws don't apply to me. But your laws are you handle it.
Not my God.
Yep. So it's how do you finagle through there? You know? It's what's fair for the goose is fair for the gander. You wanted to bring charges, and when they didn't stick, you got beat. But now you want to cry foul. Well, you're bringing unjustly charges on this man. You know? And I mean, Paul took his share of licks now, don't get me wrong. And what a lot of people miss is when God told Ananias to go to Saul at the time, and he said, God, don't you know what they're doing? He said, I will show him what it's like to suffer in my name. And he showed it. That's exactly what he did. So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. And that vow is a Nazarene vow. So you knew you let your hair grow. There's a whole bunch of things to it. But it's actually supposed to start in Judea. He didn't start it in Judea, and Caesarea is part of the. So he's going back to Jerusalem, and that's when he's going to cut his hair off and be done with his vow. So he started sailing, and he took Priscilla and Achaia with him as two of his disciples. I mean, all the people that Paul had planted, Timothy, all of them, that was all Paul's disciples. What would Paul say if he walked into church today? You know, think about that. What would be Paul's, what he would say? How's your disciples? Who are your disciples? How can I get you to know Jesus better? Think about that. To me, Paul was one of the most influential people at that time, in that area. I mean, is it just because that's all we know? Or is it because it's true? You know? Paul converted more people to Christians than anybody. I mean, if you think about it. So what are we doing? Are we discipling people?
Yes.
Are we letting people see? And everybody, it's the love of Christ. It's not the love of Christ that attracts people to us. It's our humility. And we get our humility from the love of Christ. So So they're seeing our humility, but they're not recognizing love as Christ. You know, look, I'm humble. And I'm not prideful. what did Paul have that nobody else had? He had the blessing of God. Even in above the, he had the thorn in his side. Was it actually a thorn or was it a person? That we don't know. But he asked God three times. God said, uh-huh. God keeps certain things in my life for me to recognize. Hey, you want to go back there? Or you want to stay where you are? Going back there didn't end well for you. You've been following me, it's going pretty well, I think. So it's a decision we have to make. Dang, it's already 30 minutes already. 19 to 21. And he came to Ephesus. And you got to remember, when he wanted to go to Ephesus the first time, the Holy Spirit said no. God said no. Wait. It wasn't your time yet. But here he goes to Ephesus. God's timing is always perfect. There's a time. Just because God doesn't deny, but he will delay you. So was Paul ready to handle Ephesus at that time? We don't know. All we know is that he said, pump your brakes. You can't go there yet. So here he goes to Ephesus and left him there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay a longer time, he did not consent and took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again, God willing, and he sailed from Ephesus. So he just went there. He planted Priscilla and Achaia, pretty much what it's saying, and then he just left. Now he's starting to bounce all over. And the reason he had to get back to Jerusalem was the Nazarene vow he had taken. That's what he was heading for. It was time for it to end. So he's trying to get back home. Because he's from Jerusalem. He's from Antioch. So he's trying to get home to his home base. And then he landed at Caesarea and gone up and greeted the church. And he went down to Antioch. But when it says going and greeted the church, he went to fulfill his vow. Now he's back home. That's his hometown, Antioch. Then he starts on his third mission trip. After he had spent some time there, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Once again, there we are, disciples. Disciples. Look, probably most of us in the room are products of Ira Young. You know, and if Ira was still capable today, he'd be saying, what are you doing? Who are you discipling? How are you discipling? You know, it's when you disciple someone and they start discipling someone, you have to still be in contact with them and encourage them. You know, because look, sometimes discipling, look, make drive me to drink. They got some people that's like, dude, you know, they got some people that, I mean, I do inner healing and I lead it. Look, they got some men in that world that are following Jesus that are truly broken and they don't know how to get out of it. They do not know what to do. And it's sad. Truly it is sad because you think these are strong men. They're strong men of God, but their bodies are weak. They understand and they get it how it goes, but they have no idea how to go about it. And that's where we come in, guys. If somebody comes across your heart, call them, check on them.
Reach out.
You know, you could be the difference between a phone call to lift them up. They might be thinking of taking their own life at that point.
Yeah.
We never know.
That's right.
Or they're going through something that's so, look, one morning, I'm in Florida, Jimmy Craven, right there. His phone said, I'm calling him. My phone said, he's calling me. Now, who's calling who?
Jesus. He called me. I definitely did not call him.
my phone said, you called me. But at that time, I needed to hear something. Because, look, I'd rather jump off the third story balcony. Probably wouldn't have done no good. It's all full of sand around it, but it would have felt good. It would have felt good. Like, I was ready to jump off the cliff. I mean, I was about to quit my job and just come home. I was so aggravated and frustrated. It's just where I was at that point. And he kept throwing Bible script. I said, Jim, I know what the Bible said. I don't want to hear that. I just want you to agree with me, dude. Disagree with me.
Let me jump.
Yeah, so, but he walked me, like, I had to call, like, I was furious.
Unpack it.
Yeah, I had to unpack everything what he was saying. And it's to have men like that in your life.
Amen.
You know? You gotta have men like that in your life. When you're going through something, look, I don't have all the answers. That in a healing this Sunday, a guy said something. I said, ooh, I'm gonna have to pray on that. I'm gonna have to go. I don't have an answer for you. I said, because if I give you my answer, it's totally wrong. You know, so I'm going to pray about it, I'm going to get with somebody, and I'll have the answer for you next week. It's about knowing when to do that. Never go sideways, always go up.
Amen.
You know, and then when you're in healing, you're kind of caught in it. Amen. You know, you're in the, their emotions are running, your emotions are running, so you know, you're feeling for them, they're crying, and you feel for them.
Yeah.
But when something like that comes, I have to say, whoa,
think you got that.
I can't answer that right now. I need to think about that. I need to pray about that. And if I don't feel that, I'm going to somebody hiding me. I'm not even going to try to help you right now because I can't. I do not want to give you bad guidance. So that's growth for me because you gotta just do this, be good. Yeah, just doing that don't win so well. So and then it just talks about, well, we talk about a Jew named Apollos. Born of Alexandria, eloquent man, mighty in scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord. Though he knew only the baptism of John, so he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. So God had anointed this guy to speak. He was fervent in spirit. That means he was wide open. The Holy Spirit was moving in. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he only knew the Gospel of John and baptism of John and what he had heard about Jesus. So Priscilla and took him under their wing and taught him about Jesus. Then he goes and starts preaching Jesus. But he's full of the Spirit. God had anointed this guy. Once again, Priscilla and what's his name? Aquila, or disciples of Paul, they take Apollos and disciple him. And that's how it works. You got to be able to duplicate it. What I do for you, you got to be able to do for somebody else. Our blessings should flow through us like conduit. If you hold your blessing, it ain't going well for you. Pass them on. You know, God gives you wisdom, use it. God gives you knowledge, but use your knowledge with the wisdom. Let's go out today, fellas. If you see somebody, that's why I like working by myself. I don't see nobody. This is the most I'm going to see all day right here. Because I'm caught in the bathroom hanging towel. I'm not leaving. And just, if somebody comes across your heart or, just reach out to them. You know, let them know you love them. You're thinking about them. You care for them. Look, we've been praying for this man for a month now. He had an angiogram yesterday. And he didn't want to say nothing. Look, I put him on the prayer list. We prayed. You know? It's the first thing I saw this morning, he had to go. Check on him. You know? Chris Moose said, 9-toe Chris, got a toe cut off in the hospital. Well, this is a while back. Call him, check on him every day, man. Go. When he got home, I went bring cook him supper. We'd bring him supper. It's little acts of kindness that, you know, just,
yeah.
Especially in your circle. Somebody's in your circle, you know. I mean, you got to hang on. They're in your circle for a reason. God put them there, especially they're a man of God. Some of them, they're not people of God. You might want to reevaluate your circle. So, even your family members. That's true.
Yeah.
Yep. And I would say this, we're so fortunate that me, my mom, my dad, my brother, my two sisters and our spouses, we could sit down and talk about God, even with their children.
Praise Jesus.
Except for one niece. And she's not on my Christmas card list, but, you know, I can love you from a distance. I don't have to have you eat stuff in my house. I still love you. I'm just not going to hang out with you. You know, you're bad for me. So, yeah, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this word. Ask that the Holy Spirit go before each and one of these, every of these men. Let them be successful, to touch someone's life, to touch someone's heart. And as the Spirit go before us today, guard us, guide us, and keep us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.